else. She's not your old. Hello? Music started. I don't know what that music.
Starting the music again.
Oi.
technology.
Anyway,
huh?
I know.
Bob Hapka, where is he? He still hasn't called in. I think he should surprise us with the new year coming up. In 2011. With Bob Hapka.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, at Bob Hapka. Follow him. He's fun. Yeah, you're right. We need to hear from him.
We got to hear that voice. I want to hear that voice.
Exactly. let's see.
I've been wishing him a happy new year tonight on Twitter. So.
Yeah. Aww, that's nice. I'm sorry. This lovely Blog Talk Radio keeps flashing me a really annoying sign that it won't go away, and I can't make it go away. But anyway, enough about my problems. you can tell. It's always fun when you have technology problems.
The people in Salem have many problems, don't they? Our problems seem mild compared to their problems. Man.
Oh, gosh. We got Dan in the chat room. Shy one over there. Not so
hey,
shy
one. Yeah.
She's a shy one.
We
it's
know better
ones.
Than that.
It's always
quiet
the quiet
one.
Ones that are trouble.
Yeah,
huh?
yeah. Even Teo knows better than that, so.
Oh gosh. Well, hey, I think we got Angela on the line. Let's go ahead. I think that's Angela anyway. Let's go ahead and bring her in and see. Hello, is this
hey,
Angela?
It sure
hey,
is.
How are
you?
Hi, Angela.
We're having a little bit of a rocky start.
We're
just, internet problems there for a minute, you know? It's like that whole
we didn't know if we're
going to
make it or not.
Yeah, it's almost like the AT&T wireless network, you know? It's like you never know if it's going to work or not. Well, that's kind of what I end up having sometimes. It's like,
I'm on AT&T. I understand completely that whole concept.
So we're just now, I don't know if you heard, I made the announcement about Carrie's cat Jonah dying today, so she's not here today, and bless her heart. I mean, that's so hard. I mean, we all love our pets so much, like family. At least I know I'm that way. Marianne lost her dog a few years ago, and it's just no fun to have to lose a loved one, whether they're furry or not. So Days of Our Lives this week. Let's see. I almost want to start with the ending. I don't know how to say this. Well, yeah, I don't know how to say this, but, like, was Chad and Abby's breakup, like, the most, like, boring thing ever? I mean.
Yeah, just finally.
Because you two were boring anyway. Well, I liked them together. But it was almost kind of like, I'm not into it anymore. Are you?
But
no,
I really wasn't into it. I wasn't. I don't know.
Yeah, I liked them. I liked them, but I think they would be better as friends, you know. We'll see how it goes.
They're kind of like Melanie and Chad, you know.
They're growing on me. I mean, I really like Abby. I guess I just don't like her with the whole,
I like Austin and Carrie. I'm sorry, but I really wasn't a big Carrie and Austin fan, but they're still cute together. I think they just belong together,
Carrie and Austin.
I really can't see them with anybody else. They're kind of like a Bo, not like a Bo and Hope, but you know what I mean? Keep them together. I can't really see them. I can't see Carrie with Rafe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe they do. They're kind of boring together, but I don't know.
They could be boring together and not bother any of them.
No. Maybe, yeah. Well, I think she'd be even more boring with Rafe.
Boring.
At least Austin's more interesting than Rafe. I mean,
yeah.
A little bit, yeah. I don't know.
I just feel like December has just been so boring. I mean, it just I really had high hopes, you know, with, you know, the, you know, thing with EJ and Sammy in November. And then the fact that even they were doing the Christmas tree early, I thought, okay, well, this will, they're really going to try to, you know, throw out the stops while people are on vacation and home and can, you know, really watch it and try to, and I just feel like it has, I mean, I appreciate this, that I think Chandler Massey has done a fantastic job. I mean, I just,
I hope he gets an Emmy nom or something, yeah.
Is it
great.
Just me or was is it just me or was Marlena expecting him to tell her he was gay?
That's what we were expecting.
I kind of think she's been trying to get that out of him for a while.
I think she knows. I think maybe she suspects. Yeah. Anyway,
because the way
Marlena.
She reassured him with, you know, the way she reassured him, like, you know, I'm not going to judge you. I love you. You know, mm-hmm. I think she was really expecting that, and that was not the answer she was expecting to hear.
And did I hear? Did I see a preview with her saying, "Oh no, it's happening again. It happens. Mm-hmm. It happens."
At least,
you know,
that's
because
sweet
the exact
justice.
Same thing with her and John when Sam saw them.
And I loved it when he was like, "His mom's a slut and she doesn't deserve rape and blah blah."
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, looking right at you, Marlena. And I was like, and so I like that twist from that standpoint. Is like, Marlena's going to have to come to her own, like. She's going to have to process this on a couple of different levels. And the way
she did
says,
the same
she's so
thing.
Selfish. She's so mm-hmm. selfish. She just thinks about herself. Well, let's see. Pot kettle with the mom, you know. So
yeah.
I think that's an interesting. I mean,
it's funny. Will doesn't think of his grandmother like that, though.
No.
But then if he
and maybe
that will
be part of the way, you know. Yeah.
He kind of forget what, you know, Marlena did the same thing. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think it's different, though, with grandparents. You know, grandparents have a second chance with
the grandkids. Yeah, our grandparents can't do no wrong, just like grandchildren can't do no wrong. You know.
It's a different
mm-hmm.
relationship than when you have your
right.
parents. So I can see that. I think it would be interesting. And I guess the big story will be that, you know, Will is going to foolishly try to go against EJ. And, of course, that's not going to work out too well for him. You know, because I've got this whole blackmail story coming up. But I mean, from what I've read, and again, this is just spoiler, so I may be wrong, but from what I have read, you know, Will, you know, because he's getting more and more sort of disenfranchised with everybody, you know, that he's, you know, he decides that he's going to go and see if he can blackmail EJ, because he's so mad, and for whatever reason, he still will not go face his mother, but he goes to EJ, and of course, EJ is already kind of observing, you know, they've had a scene today where he was kind of observing Will, and then he overheard Will talking to Marlena the other day about feelings and all this kind of stuff, and so EJ is already suspicious, I think, about Will, and evidently he's going to find out. I don't know how, but he's going to know that Will is really gay. And when Will goes to EJ and you know, attacks him about being involved with his mother and everything and tries to get, I guess, money from EJ. I don't know what else he could possibly be trying to get from EJ. And I guess EJ turns the tables on him and says, well, you know, I don't think this is, you know, you're really not too smart to come here to blackmail me when, you know. And mm-hmm. and then he confronts him about, you know, his sexuality. So that evidently, from what I'm understanding, that is part of the blackmail story that's coming up. Mm-hmm. So that could be pretty interesting, I guess. I think I'm really concerned. You know, the ratings came out again this afternoon. Way down again.
Abysmal.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, it was horrendous. I mean, this week, you know, like I waited all week because I was home, you know, and this whole week, and I was waiting at the end of the week to see this whole, you know, Will's confession to Marlena, because of course they previewed it a couple of days ago, so we knew, and you know, we knew it was coming.
That was the best part of the day.
It was the best part of
the show today. Of the week, all the scenes
with
Will.
Well, actually, I thought today, what was it, Wednesday? Stefano and John, I enjoyed that day.
Mm-hmm.
That was the good old stuff,
Kate, and even Dr. Dan, who I do not care for, I even thought that was interesting.
That conversation was very interesting.
See, that's the thing. They have a very twisted relationship in history, and I love the way Lauren and Sean approached that whole thing. They kept, like somebody said on Twitter, they kept the integrity of their characters, mm-hmm. but they really pulled us out, you know, because, I mean, I was kind of hoping Kate would say something like, well, maybe you're having hand tremors because of all the people you felt up in the emergency room or something, you know. I was kind of hoping she'd slam him with something. But I loved how they both kept the integrity of their characters. And yet, because, I mean, I was an original date fan. I mean, that's part of what even, I mean, I just love them. And I hated him with Chelsea, thought he was pervy with her. But when he and Kate had all that chemistry, I was like, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
And then
when he
started hitting on Chloe while he was examining her, that whole thing, it just totally turned me off of him completely. And I've never been able to, like, come back from that, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And then the whole orange sex scenes and stuff that they kept replaying for months on end, and the way they treated Lucas and the whole, you know. So I haven't liked him, for his character, for a long time. The only time recently that I've kind of liked him is with Melanie, you know, the father-daughter relationship. I think he does, you know, I like him in that role. But I have to admit, I think a lot of people enjoyed those scenes with Kate and Daniel, even the ones that don't like one or the other character.
I know. Well, I do think it's clever. It was clever, and they've done this. I was rereading a blog that was written right after the grief sex episode in November, today, and actually I reposted a link to that because I think the girl that does that one is just really, really talented. And she had a whole section in there talking about the Sammy and Kate scenes from that, you know, when, you know, Sammy's so upset and worried about Johnny, you know, can't find him. She's over in the Horton Town Square.
Oh, yeah, I love
that. And Kate, you know, was so, you know, Kate was, you know, saying, well, if Roman survived you or whoever else survived you, she says, you know, Johnny will survive. You know, she was kind of picking it at Sammy, but yet she was really trying to be kind of assuring.
Right.
And it was so good. And I think that this week too, with Lauren and with Sean Christian, it was good because I had to laugh when she said, I'm really not the monster you make me out to be. And then you have to laugh, and you go, you poisoned.
He's around for a year trying to kill her. but that's the great thing about Lauren's portrayal of Kate, even in crappy writing. She's so able to do it. I mean, like, and when she was crying, like when she was feeling for him, like, just like he saved her life and she's not mm-hmm. going to turn her back on him, even though, you know. I just loved it, and I'm glad that they honored, even if it was recent history, like three, four years ago, I'm glad that they honored that, like, because I'm sure some people didn't even realize, I mean, newer viewers, if we have any of them, newer viewers probably had no idea that they even had a history, you know,
Exactly.
So they brought all that, the writers did a good job, and they brought all of that to bear in those scenes. And I mean, they, you know, so very rich, very layered, and I really, really enjoyed those. And I did tweet a couple of quotes from, there was one, I can't remember, it's something about, if you want someone who's not going to sugarcoat the truth, I'm your woman. I'm like, that's why
whole,
I love Kate.
This whole thing with Kate and Sammy, you know, after she hired her and she said everything, then she gets on the phone with Stefano. So there's an agenda there. First, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. well, maybe Kate and Sammy are really going to work well together and go after Madison and defeat her, and they're really going to be, you know, but there's something else there. Is it that I'm thinking, okay, is she going to try to get in good with Sammy to somehow, so Stefano can have the kids or see the kids or something?
Uh-huh.
Did you see that conversation that she had with Stefano?
Yeah.
She says, oh, my plan,
so
like they had a plan. They think they've planned it. There's more to it than what just bringing Madison down. There's, like, more to it.
Oh, yeah.
She's using Sammy. I mean, she is scheming, you know.
Well, she's going to have a lot to do with Ian Buchanan when he comes on the show, too.
Okay.
Yeah,
he
had a couple of interviews that were very intriguing, we'll just say. I'm looking forward to him.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything yet. Yeah. That might be exciting.
I have liked him in the past on other programs. But I think that I think it's careful, you know, I think especially right after the reset, you know, I think we were all kind of concerned about what was going to happen with the whole Demira family because we weren't seeing very much and we're still not seeing near enough of Lauren or near enough of Joe Mascola.
Right.
But
right.
But I do think
together
that
anyway.
Well, that's true. Well, even apart, that they're still not on that frequently.
They're
you know,
on at the same time, but not together. They don't have them together.
No, I'm sick of this whole phone sex relationship they have. It's like,
yeah,
how
that's
many
the only time they talk
taped?
Is over the phone.
I missed that episode.
Well, I mean, it wasn't really phone sex, but I call it that because it's like their relationship is over the phone, for crying out loud, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, we didn't see him for New Year's, and we didn't see Maggie and Victor for New Year's.
Yeah,
yeah, where were they?
We didn't get to see them. Yeah,
neither
exactly.
one of them.
Exactly. Exactly.
We had to watch Brady and Madison.
I think they know they're giving us more of that, the ratings are going to go down if they're on every day. Let me tell you, the only value
that I see Madison has in my life right now is that she's bringing Ian Buchanan on. Ian Buchanan character is somebody from her past.
Is that the guy she's talking to or whoever
she's talking to?
That's
the guy she's talking to on the phone,
Is this like a relationship thing or is it like somebody in her past?
They said she could be married to him. He could be her father. He could be her
father,
mentor. We don't really know.
Okay.
But he is supposed to be kind of the new gangster, evil guy in town kind of thing, which I think is going to give an opportunity, supposedly is going to give an opportunity to both Victor's crowd and really Stefano maybe to be a little bit more gray.
Let's just hope he's not taking over the Demira. You know, it's going to be a whole new
I hope that's not what they're going to do. Well, I mean, I would hate that. I don't think that would go away. I thought it was interesting, though, on
Wednesday.
Unless
they make him a Demira. You know.
Pardon?
I don't know.
Well, what I was going to say is that on Wednesday, like I said, I really was thrilled to see John and Stefano. I've been waiting for them to have some scenes together.
But I thought
it was awfully interesting that Stefano started bringing up Marlena. So much
in that conversation, because there's the
long term affair that John and Kate had, that was very serious.
I didn't forget about it, but I forgot that's John's, since that's John and Stefano are related. It's like Kate's
half brothers.
Yeah,
but they never bring that up though. It's like they're not brothers.
No,
they never act. They don't. It's like they want us to forget that they're supposed to be brothers.
Well,
they never mention it.
2 or 3 years of the program now, you know, and they. I mean, I honestly think at this
Why?
Point, because especially with John's buried past that they've rewritten 1,003 times, that you know, if you're going to mention one or two of them, you better go ahead and mention them all. I think they need to have Joe Mascola on there more frequently. They need to have Stefano more. But I loved Stefano and his little laugh there with the encore at the end of that scene. My grandmother, who has passed on, who loved Days, and you know, before the days of VCRs, when I was in high school or whatever, I could call and talk to her and basically get the recap from her. And she loves Stefano, and she would always say, "Oh, that's Stefano." And I sat here the other day when he was sitting there laughing at the end with that little letter, and I just said, "And that's Stefano," because I just felt just like Granny was here with me, laughing with me, because it was so sweet. But he has the best laugh. Oh, he's just great. He's just an amazing actor. And they need to get the amazing actors on there quickly and get something going, because honest to goodness, other than the Wednesday episode and then the tail end today, where we've waited now for months for Will to, or at least a month from Will to say something about Sammy, I feel like I'm a loyal advocate of this program, and it's about all I can do to stick with it right now. And so I feel like, you know, they've got to step something up. It's got to change. And I called into another program, I guess 2 weeks ago, one of Richard Sims' program. I don't listen to him all the time, and so I don't really know all the people and what the discussions. I think they don't talk about Days all that much. But I brought up then, this whole thing with the writing 3 months in advance has got to stop. I mean, I understand that it costs them money and they've got to schedule and all that kind of stuff.
But they can't, but you know, we can't control that. It's stupid, but, you know,
it is stupid.
They're doing what they're going to do.
They're going to be four months, I mean, this is just going to keep getting worse.
Well,
they don't have it.
I mean, they're going to get that far in advance and then they can't fix it. And then it's going to be over. I mean, there was a whole Twitter discussion tonight, which I thought was pretty interesting. I didn't catch the front end of it, so I may have missed or not understood everything in the context of what people were saying. But, you know, part of it is just that, you know, Comcast have got to, I don't care if they can say as many nice things as they want to, the show's ratings are absolutely horrible. And when you've got shows that have been canceled on other networks that are, you know, second and third.
Well, I have a feeling if it's going to turn around, it's going to start turning around in February, March. Because, I mean, I'm ever the optimist, but, you know, and then I end up getting disappointed. But I really think that they're firing some things up for February, March that are going to be pretty interesting.
Well,
I would have to go through all this anguish just to get to it. But I think that there's going to be several cylinders firing all at the same time,
I think it needs to, because I know I just love the show, have cared about it. You know, it's always been part of our family, all the things that we've talked about before. But honest to goodness, you know, I was resentful of watching it this summer. And I really stuck with it because the ratings were so bad, because I felt like they could have wrapped up Dina's stories in June and we would have been just as well off as we were dragging that mess out till September. And then, like I said, just to keep waiting, yeah, oh, it's going to be the most wonderful thing in the whole wide world. And then I think there've been some good things. I'm glad John and Elena are back. I'm glad about several things, but honest to goodness, that does not mean that they're telling an interesting story. And frankly, if you're not telling an interesting story,
sure,
you know, you're just not going to keep people. And if you've got people that have watched for 30-something years and their parents watched everything else, and, you know, those folks are starting to get a little bit road-weary. It's not good because it's hard to get people back. You know, I think when they lost people, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, 6 months ago, how many of those people are they really?
If you think about it, what's going to be coming to a head in February, March? We're going to have the election stuff's going to be coming to a crescendo here, and then we've got somebody's undoubtedly going to find out more about Ijami grief sex. Then we've got this Ian guy coming to town, and hopefully finally Madison will be worth something to me. I don't care what Brady and Madison do, whatever, who cares. But the Sammy and Kate working together, I think even if there's a hidden agenda, I think it's going to be interesting. So Ellen and Brian DiTillo coming back. And, you know,
that's good.
So there should be some things to look forward to anyway.
I think Sammy's going to lean on him as a friend. You know, there's going to be a lot of scenes with him and Sammy, too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, and then the whole, we don't know what's happening with Carrie and Ray, but they're obviously setting them up to play.
They're setting them up to have an affair.
You know.
Well,
yeah.
It's like payback to Sammy, you know, she stole off, you know, poor Austin.
So, and then the
Will
storyline, I mean, I'm actually surprisingly interested in the Will story. He's such a good, engaging actor, and I was originally, when I first heard this last year, they were going to go that direction probably, I was like, oh. Days never does things like this well.
But they're doing this right. They're taking it slow.
I'm glad they retooled because with the old writers, the old regime, it was going to be like, boom, all of a sudden he's gay and blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'm so glad they're taking their time.
More like True to Life, I think.
And, you know, if you think about it, they're really building an umbrella story with this. I mean, it's not just going to be like the kiddies.
I think, Will himself is
right. There's really an umbrella story that's building because it's going to, and like Angela, you mentioned the whole bribe thing and all that, you know, there's or blackmail thing. there's that whole aspect too. So I think it's really going to be an umbrella story that's going to carry a lot of character, you know, bring in a lot of characters. So,
Will has a big, he's related to a lot of people, so it's going to affect, spread out to a lot of people. And,
Hey, we have someone on the line. I'm not sure who it is, but I want to just, they may have a question or comment, or they may just be listening. Let me check and see.
Okay.
Hello, area code 304.
Yes, this is Joe.
Hi, Joe. Did you have a question or comment?
Pretty much wanted to talk about days a little bit.
Great.
And so far I didn't see a whole lot of days. I only saw probably a little bit of Wednesday, and then seeing Thursday episode. And for me, I can see why the show is where is at in ratings. I just the show overall, there's some things that are good, but most of it is just it's crowded right now in terms of their young characters. A lot of them going to have time to really, you know, be able to mostly work on a show like that. And and honestly, it's not really, they don't have enough time to do that, you know, because, you know, Days is under the gun to get renewed, and they're going to have to try wherever they can in order to get the show at least back to back in gear by renewal time. So I think 2012 is going to be it's probably going to be a real, you know, mess time for the show, because I mean, if they don't really try to find a way to get rid of the current writers, I mean, it's going to be a tough sale for them to do.
I
don't know. Well, what other things about could they really change the whole writing team yet again? It's almost like they're going to have to kind of just work. I wonder if they're just going to have to kind of work with the folks they've got. I do think that if you look at the credits, they've got a tremendous amount of people writing. And that's a problem, because I think that's
too many.
Yeah, it's just too much editing. There's somebody that needs to be
the
grand editor.
You're not going to have continuity and, you know, that whole bit. You know, if you've got that many different writers doing dialogue, at least, you know, if you've got four or five of them, then you've got some continuity, because they're at least doing one script a week, you know, each or something. But when you've got eight or ten of them, it's like, what are they doing
like
over there, you know?
Joe, what do you think?
It seemed like a lot of them.
What's that, Joe?
Oh, I was going to say, it seemed like they have like about like 13, 16 writers or something with the show. I seen the credits, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of writers that they have on the show.
Yeah, they have, like, the first two, like, they've got, the first group of them are more like breakdown writers and stuff, and then the last two screens of writers are usually the dialogue writers, so they'll each be in charge of, like, an episode or whatever to write the dialogue for that episode. So I mean, it's like just with the dialogue writers alone, I think there's like eight of them at least. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if that's because of transition. Maybe they're getting rid of a few and bringing a few new ones in. And so they have to credit both, you know, all of them, because some of their episodes carry over. I don't know. I hope they keep the Coletons, because they are the best. I love them. I love their scripts.
Well, they're also the most experienced people as well. I mean, he's been a head writer. They're by far. I mean, you can tell on the episode when they're writing versus I know I probably have a little bit of a prejudice. I try not to be too prejudiced about the ex-Passions writers, because again, I never watched Passions, so I just have this
preconceived
notion.
No, and I think some of it's the management too. I think some of it's the executive producers that have some sway in that. I mean, you know.
I mean, it's still daytime on the show too, and it's been like 2 days, like 2-3 days.
They stretch it out.
It's pretty much much the same path like Passions in terms of it, and I guess that's probably why Passions was in the same pace it been too, it's not only because of Raleigh's style of writing, but it probably was also because of, you know, their writing too.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, let me ask you this: which, if any, of the stories are you finding that you enjoy the most right now? If you had to pick one or two, if any.
Like I said, I haven't really seen a whole lot, but some of the chemistry on the show is okay. I mean, for me, I seen the preview of The Wheel and EJ thing, and I think they kind of reverse. They kind of made a mistake and make, instead of making EJ the one to blackmail Will, they should have had, made EJ be the one to blackmail Will to say, I'll be the one to tell you, Sammy about, you know, his sexuality. And that way would have worked a little bit more better than having, you know, Will telling EJ what to do, because it doesn't make sense for, you know, Will to tell EJ what to do. I mean, you know, the guy.
Yeah. I think they're going to quickly reverse it, though. I think that's how he's going to go in.
Oh,
and
okay. Then
EJ is going to immediately kind of turn it on him. So I think you're
I'd rather
see
Will turn it on EJ, though. I'd rather see Will. Wouldn't you rather see EJ come to Will and say he's going to say something, but then have Will have it one up on EJ?
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like having EJ have no idea that Will knew that he slept with Sammy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just, so far I've seen the light and the way the show is lighting on the set. And to me, it just, it looks kind of generic. You know, some of the storylines, like I thought the Stefano and John scene is just, it's so redundant that I think they kind of need to eventually bring someone on, another villain or something, because it's always kind of the same thing over and over again. It's not like in terms of, you know, let's take a break from this and then come back to it. It's more so like, you know, here we go again. You know, Stefano is involved with Marlena again.
I,
for me, would prefer that, you know, as far as the John and Marlena thing, that they probably should bring Marlena into probably someone with more exotic, more of a different kind of male, maybe a Latino or a black male, to kind of be a little bit of a love interest or kind of like flirt with something kind of work with, because it's almost the same thing, the whole group are together.
Right.
And, you know, it just, right now the show is kind of like, it seems like they're all jumping for certain things. And, like, for example, a couple of weeks ago, like, you know, why would Daniel, you know, have a drink with Jack, you know, out of all people after the whole ordeal with Jennifer?
Yeah.
To me, it's just, and they're talking about, I think, like, baseball and football.
And toilet seats. Keep the toilet seats.
That was kind of funny. That was cute, yeah.
I think so, but, you know, for, you know, people who kind of want to see the, you know, I guess the progress of the storyline, you know, it doesn't make sense if you were kind of falling, you know, if you have someone fall in love with, you know, a long-term love interest that you kind of came back from. It's kind of a mess to deal with.
What about Monday's episode? Joe, did you see Monday's episode when Daniel and Brady and Quinn are all hanging out in the lobby?
Oh, yeah.
I think that was Tuesday. Oh, my God.
Shirtless Monday.
I was calling it Shirtless Tuesday.
Oh, it was awful.
Hey, I didn't mind that at all.
Well, I don't mind seeing them shirtless, but that was kind of awkward. Like, they're all
sitting
there, like, flexing their muscles. I mean, I'd much rather have them
stretching and talking about their feelings, and it's so stupid because you know men will not be doing that. And then someone else smarter than I am had written, and I don't know on which board it was this week, but they said, you know, I guess that Brady and those don't really realize that what Quinn had been up to. You know, then the fact, and Quinn doesn't know that Brady actually held Vivian, his mother, in that coffin for so many months. It's like, you know, they wiped away all the ridiculousness that had gone on. I had forgotten about it.
Another old BFF.
You came up with it.
It just seemed like a lot of the ideas they get is coming from, you know, passions, and then they're trying to bring it on the show. I mean, I think right now the show is kind of going in the same direction that kind of all my children are going to, in terms of the writer change and things like that, where, you know, they'll have, you know, a writer that people kind of hate, which was Dina. Then they have the dual writers that happen on all my children. And then eventually... they had one writer, but that was at the time when the show was, you know, in it. So it's kind of a scary pattern that the show is kind of going on right now. But I will say this, that if Eric Mossoff was playing a different role with Madison, then I think the couple could work, but Brady wouldn't be the type of person that's kind of fall in love with, you know, Madison.
No.
It just seemed kind of awkward if it was, you know, different role. Yeah, if it was a different role for, you know, Eric, then I think the potential is there. And I will say also in terms of the younger cast, I think it was Sonny. Was at the bar with Will. I don't know which one's which, but I mean, I thought, you know, Sonny boyfriend was. It was obvious that you couldn't tell that was really any sort of boyfriend. It was just mostly generic. I mean, it was just like there was no way you could really believe that, you know, that was his boyfriend. Even if it was friends with benefits, it just didn't come across as like, oh, this is his boyfriend. It doesn't come off that well with it.
Yeah, but we'll see. Maybe because they said it was going to be their coming out night or whatever. Like maybe like finally people were going to know they were together or whatever. So maybe. You know, I don't know where that story is going, but, you know, I'm willing to kind of give that a little time to percolate. But, you know, I don't know. I love Sonny. I think he's adorable. I mean, I wasn't really sure how that was all going to play out, but I think he's an adorable kid. And so I don't know, you know, how long it's going to take for the whole Will thing to unwind, but... I don't know. I'm enjoying those guys, I guess.
I definitely know that eventually they're going to have to make some tough decisions. I mean, with the way they are doing Melanie, and I mean, I don't even know how you fit her in this storyline. Austin is kind of out of place right now. I mean, in terms of just where you put him, and it just seemed like I would actually prefer if someone else was playing Austin because, I mean, I think for, you know, Patrick, it just doesn't come off, you know, it just doesn't work very well. I would actually prefer Austin packed, to be honest with you, even though, you know, maybe the show don't want him or anything like that. It's just, to me, you know, when I was watching some of his scenes, it just seems so out of place with him playing the role of playing the father of Abby. I mean, not Abby.
Father,
but, you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like.
I mean,
well, yeah.
It's kind of
more like her father.
Yeah. But it just seemed kind of out of place, you know, for him to be in scenes with her, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm at least, I was kind of worried when I first heard this was going to be like this whole, you know, student-teacher attraction thing. I can kind of go with, okay, Abby's got a crush on this married professor mm-hmm. that she happens to have known all her life, but that's another story. but I'm glad so far that they're playing it that Austin has no clue. I think it would be so skeevy. I mean, it would remind me of like the Dr. Dan and Chelsea thing, only there's less of an age disparity as far as looks goes between these two than there was with Chelsea and Daniel, but I still think that like I'm glad that so far Austin hasn't like even given her a flicker of hope.
No.
You know, she's just sort of pining for him. But you're right. Like you said, they're going to have to make some difficult decisions because, like, you know, I like that Chad and I guess I'm kind of Chad and Melanie. What do you guys, Marianne and Angela, what are you guys thinking about Chad and Melanie possibly?
Oh, I like Chad and Melanie. They got to find some place for Melanie. I don't know. Like, she was in, before she was in, like, with Philip, she was in the older crowd.
The older guys,
And then I don't know if she really, but I liked her with Philip. But I don't know if she fits in with the younger crowd, like when she's with Will. Like, he's too young. And Gabby.
Yeah, that was awkward. Yeah, she was like, let me get you a Shirley Temple. Like,
yeah, so, but I guess Chad is more her age, I suppose. Chad and Sonny, I guess.
Yeah.
But Sonny's out. But, I like Chad and Melanie, I think.
We'll see.
Better than Chad and than Abby. Chad and Abby.
I this is probably not popular, but I honestly think it could be time for them both to go.
Chad and Melanie?
Chad and Melanie. Well,
they're sure not
playing up
the Demira angle.
No.
Chad could have been good with the Demiras, though. He was. When he was fighting that. Him and Stefano have no scenes. It's like he's not even a Demira.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think there was an issue from the beginning about whether who all really wanted him to be in the Demira clan and who didn't. And I don't know. I just have the sense that was always a little bit of an unsettled issue on the show. And then because they dragged that out for
ever.
I just hate that they keep always making it Stefano.
I just don't see. I mean, right now Chad could be played by anybody. You know, he doesn't have to be a Demira. He doesn't have to be. It just doesn't have to be anyone.
It's a shame.
Because he was going in a good direction there. It's like not blame the actor or not blame it's the stupid writers.
Definitely part of this. You know,
they don't know how to write Demiras for some reason. I don't get it.
At least they
did a gambling thing. You know.
Yeah, that turned out to be a real flop.
It did come of that. That was stupid.
They
dropped that. Yeah,
I read something else this week, and again, someone smarter than I am had made this comment, but, you know, it was just like they were, you know, it's like, you know, stories that they just almost, it's almost like you feel like they've even gotten bored with the stories, and you just don't hear about them, and then they think, oh, we better hurry up and wrap this up, so in a day and a half, okay, it's wrapped up, we're done, and then you move on. The pacing of it is just... to me right now, it's one of the hardest parts to really enjoy. But as far as Chad and Melanie go, I think because they have used Melanie in so many different ways that, you know, I understand, like I said, right now she's, you know, kind of attached with Maggie, and I think that's a sweet relationship. And I think that could have been a sweet relationship without having to make Daniel
exactly.
related
yeah.
to yeah, the whole Ed story. I don't even
want
to talk about it because it just irritates me beyond.
I hated that story.
But I think to me, I would rather they have had casting calls multiple times for a young African American man to come on the show.
I thought they were Maxine's son.
And you keep seeing this, and then 6 months later you see another thing. Oh, they just put out this request. So I think that the show does need some diversity. And so I almost, like I said, to me, rather than to continue in the cycle because so much has gone on with Melanie. I mean, and like I said, I probably feel this way about Dr. Dan too. But I think, you know, if they had to make some tough decisions, you know, those might be some of the characters that I would be like.
Who would you want to go? I mean, who would you think would be, not that you want to go, but who you think would make the logical?
I think Daniel. I just don't think he has had a good fit, except, you know, and I just, and honestly, this whole story with, and but there are a lot of people that are out there that really are big Dannifers, and I respect that. But there are people that really enjoy them. That's not me, but that there are there's a fair amount of people out there that really do like them. But I would probably say Melanie and Chad and Daniel could easily go. And you know, because you've got to get them back to like a core 10 or 12.
Well, people. We got to think too. And again, contracts mean nothing on this show. But
no.
Molly's contract ought to be coming up pretty soon, shouldn't it? I mean,
it
and
is,
again,
and
maybe
Sean,
she
and
renewed.
Sean's is too. Sean's is up in March, into February, March.
And again, none of that really means a whole lot. But, you know, Mel, I don't know. I mean, I actually really like Molly Burnett. I really like her on the show. I go through phases. There are times like when Carly was on, I couldn't stand that whole story. But you know, maybe she wants to branch out too. I mean, like Shelley mm-hmm. Hennick left and she's got a primetime show and, you know, who knows? I mean, she may be ready to do that. I don't know. But, you know,
I would think with a lot of these younger actors, I think they probably want to get 3 or 4 years experience in and then at least
sure.
try. If you don't try, I mean, almost everyone, even Peter Reckel or Christian Alfonso, almost everybody on the show at some point has gone off and tried primetime or movies to see how it would work, and then if they, you know, come back or they don't. But I think it would make a logical time period. It's not that I don't like Molly Burnett. Like I said, I've met her at a couple of these fan events. I think she's very, very personable. She seems to be a very sweet girl. I just think that the, you know, just the characters, not the actors, but just the characters. I just think they've told about as many stories as they can tell. Like I said, Daniel really never got a fair shake from the beginning. They put him in there.
The only
as
person
a
I can
dude.
Think. Keep in mind, Billy's coming back. I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll take him off the shelf for a while and bring him back. I don't know. I mean.
But see, I don't want them to do that simply because he has been with Kate, he has been with Chelsea,
yeah.
and then he's going to be with the mother. I mean, I just.
Oh, that's
I
not
just,
unusual, though. Kate and Billy have shared a few, too. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kate
and Billy, yeah.
I'm not advocating for that. I just. Because really, there's no one else really for Daniel. I mean, there's nobody else left in town other than if they ended up putting him with Billy. Because I can't think of anyone else.
Or if they're not planning to keep him. Which
yeah,
could
that's what I mean.
Could be one of the reasons.
That's what I mean. I agree.
What
no, I agree. I think in terms of, I agree with you in terms of story and in terms of if they're dropping the whole, they like you said, you know, they haven't been playing the Demira aspect of Chad. I don't even know where Chad lives. I don't even know, where does he even live?
Yeah,
exactly. is he living in, huh?
I was saying he probably live outside at the Salem Square.
In? Yeah, there you go.
On the
bed. He's like, easy, that's my bed. Get off my bed.
Yeah,
or maybe he's at Maggie's.
I was going to say one more thing before I go.
Sure. Sure.
You know, they have to eventually find something to do with Hope and Bo, because for the most part, you know, out of all the characters, at least there's, you know, something here or there. But for Bo and Hope, it seemed like they kind of stuck in a corner with
yeah.
them. It's kind of like
I think they're going to be exploring their. They're going to be
going
to therapy.
Be a,
there's going to be some fireworks from that. They've agreed that today. Yeah, they've agreed that they've never really processed Zach's death in the right way and everything, and so they're going to go to therapy, and I guarantee you that's going to dig up some stuff.
Well,
hopefully they'll have a story.
Well, at least they could probably go on somewhere like a Dr. Phil or something with that. I mean, it just seems like you know,
Dr. Marlena.
It seems like right now the show just needs to kind of find their groove because, you know, time is running out for the show. And I wouldn't be surprised by the beginning of the year, you know, Corday start, you know, doing what he does best and fire a lot of the, you know, at least do some firings because, I mean, that's what he does. It seems like that's his, you know, MO these days is, you know, if something doesn't work very well, he tends to kind of, you know, throw everything, you know, out of the window. And I think that's kind of the bad, you know, bad way to do things. So I'll let someone else get a call in. So I'll see you guys next time. All right.
Thanks for calling, Joe. Appreciate hearing from you. Bye-bye. All right.
Thanks.
Well, you know, another character, once Ian comes to town, they can, like, get rid of Madison. I'm like, perfect. Once they do that whole, like, part of the story, Ian can stay and Madison can leave.
You know, I love Sarah Brown. I really do. I liked her as, you know, Carl years ago on General Hospital. And, you know, and I just feel like she just has not found her niche since then. And, I don't like Bolden the Beautiful. But when they
funny, these
her
new
back
characters home, coming in, nobody's finding their niche. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
That's a writing issue.
Has to be. Except James Scott. When he came on, right away.
Let me tell you, James
but then
Scott,
again, that was different writers way back then, I suppose, too.
I think it has to do with the actor, too. I think
plus the actor.
That's what we're talking about with Casey Diedrich. And I think, he does not have the training. I don't even know because I don't know what all the training is that James Scott's had either. But I think, I think James Scott is, an exceptional actor. And I think that the few times that I've been at a fan event and had a chance to ever speak with him, you know, one of the things he has said is that they've really tried to get him off the show since he got there. And, and think about some of the stories that he has got, been pulled into and the transit, because he was right there during the middle of the transition when James Riley died and they thought James Riley was coming back and they had hired Dina sort of as second, and then all of a sudden James Riley died, and so then just all the transitions that went on during all that, the writer strike and everything else. I think you have to give credit. I think I'm a big James Scott fan, but I just think you have to give credit to him that regardless of what they have thrown at him, just like I think at times that just
same
like
with
Mark Haslow. Yeah, I mean, I don't think
right. No matter, the writing's bad. If the actor is good enough, it doesn't matter. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Lauren Jones.
No matter what crap is thrown at them, they can turn it into gold. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Same with Lauren. Yeah, James. Yeah, all of them.
So
no matter how bad the
story is. I guess the way I'm looking at it is they've definitely painted themselves into a corner. And I'm hoping that they have been retooling enough that January will be interesting leading into February sweeps and then explosions for, March. Because I think Lisa Rinna doesn't actually air till March 9th. And Ian starts airing February 9th. So, and I think we're going to figure out fairly quickly. He's going to be involved in some things fairly quickly. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how all that plays out.
I think Joe brought up a good point a minute ago because April is the time period where the networks really start looking at what's going to be here in the fall. When you see a lot of the main announcements made, sadly very unfairly for One Life to Live and also All My Children, those announcements came in April. And so it's, you know, like I said, it's just like what Joe was saying. It's cutting it close if we're really banking on February. Because, yeah, I can just remember, you know, all this year, it's like it's just been like from one quarter to the next. First quarter was not really good. They said, oh, but we know in May things are going to pick up. Then May comes and goes, and not much happens. And, well, we know, you know, now we've got the, they fired Dina finally, and now they're going to have the new writers. So September will be the end-all, do-all. Then it was, well, things have been a little bit slower than we thought, so we know that the November sweeps. And had it not been really for the EJ and Sammy explosion, I'm not quite sure that you could have really even considered November to have been. I mean, they had the wedding for Victor and Maggie, but my goodness, they didn't even have anybody in attendance hardly. You know,
yeah,
they
that's
had that
right. And they had they used that whole thing to pimp Madison and Brady getting together. You know, all these people like stuck. I did like the Jack and Jennifer stuff when they were stuck together and stuff. That was good.
Yeah,
but
I like that too. Well, they need to have more of that. They've had they go back and forth. It's like a bipolar thing with Jack
mm-hmm.
and Jennifer.
Yeah,
it's like they'll either they have got so much potential. I mean, I love Matthew Ashford. I think he has done had talked about somebody else who's spinning gold with not a lot.
Yeah,
he has done a great mm-hmm. job doing that too.
Yeah.
And yeah, but he's an experienced actor. He knows the game. But I think, to me, I mean, you know, they've got this post-traumatic stress thing. I was all into that. I was ready to hear about the post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, what happened
and
to
then
it?
It's like, and then
wasn't he supposed to have all these sessions with Marlena and really be going through this and struggling? And, like, what happened to that?
Yeah. And see, that, to me, is 100% more interesting than a typical... Yeah, Jennifer's going to Daniel and Jack until she figures out who she wants. That's to me, that's 14-year-old stuff that nobody in real life as an adult would be doing anyway. And so to me, that's you know, so if they're spending time on that and not spending time on the post-traumatic stress, then I'm thinking, where is it going? Because people it's very interesting if you listen on some of these other shows or you read. People that have not been watching the show a tremendously long period of time were not here for the Jack and Jennifer story early on. Very few people get Jack and Jennifer right now. I mean,
no, they don't like Jack
at all.
No,
and I
can see why.
It's a huge difference. Yeah,
yeah. If you can understand it, they don't know the history, right? Just what they're showing how Jack is. Yeah, if you don't know the whole story.
Who didn't see him falling off the ladder? Raise of hands. Who didn't see that coming?
Aggravated that they did that. I was so aggravated that they did that. That could have been such a sweet, precious, sensitive, sweet kiss. And
without him,
in such a sweet way. Instead, that's the kind of thing that just is really, like I said, you know. It's just so frustrating. You have got some unbelievably talented actors that have got experience, and frankly, that's what they really need to get things pulled and going because they're going to have to, you know, regardless of who they've got writing the show at this point, I think they have, you know, Marlene and Daryl, and I think they're going to be in place. I don't think you can keep changing the head writers every 2 or 3 months and expect to be able to do anything. There's got to be, you know, even if you've got to make adjustments and so forth, like I said, I don't know that you need as many writers as they've got, nor do I understand why they're taking people. I won't mention the name because I don't want to be ugly, but there was one writer that was a dialogue writer that was there almost through the duration of Dina's term. And, I mean, every time he had an episode, I could almost tell. He just irritated. It was just always poorly written.
David Cheryl?
No, not
or
him.
John
he
Newman?
Was also not one of my favorites either. But he's
Newman?
Gone now. But exactly. Not naming names, but that one. And all
no,
of a sudden,
I don't mind naming names. They're professionals.
Name a name.
Hey,
we're naming actors. We're naming the actors and the main writers. Why not?
And
I mean,
what we like
them,
and don't like about them.
I mean, I
can
tell cool
it's our show. We can say what we want.
Well, the writers are not making the cut.
That's right. That's right, Mama Hooch. We can say what we want, Mama Hooch.
Yeah, and like I said, but regardless, anyway, whoever it happens to be, like I said, people that were actually out of the rotation are back in the rotation. You're not seeing as much of the strongest, you know, the Culletons. Mm-hmm. I think obviously we have a lot of fans on this in this group that like them, you know, because mm-hmm. they've got 30 years experience. They've been head writers. They've done every aspect of a show. They really are just great dialogue writers too. They're just interesting. They're smart, and it's frustrating to me to see some of the folks that. They have either brought in with zero experience and you know I think I said last week the whole squish, I don't know why, it just really jumped out at me on that episode about a week ago with EJ saying something about someone being squished, and I'm going,
yeah,
there's no way that EJ DeMera is going to be saying someone was squished. You know, that is, and it sounds, that's coming from someone who's 23, 24 years old. Maybe a great writer in a couple of years. You know, they may be a writer's assistant today. You know, but they, yeah, that person was given the responsibility for that dialogue for that whole episode, or at least that's the way it appears on the, you know, on the credits. Again, they could do things on behind the scenes. You don't really know how it all goes down. But so help me. I mean, that, you know, we're not at a point in time to be able to do that in the show. They need to put the biggest guns they've got up front and go with it. Because, like I said, it's February.
Well, I'm hoping the Kate and Sammy stuff, that's been getting a lot of attention on Twitter. You know, they're dynamic. Because I read Lauren's feed all the time, or a lot of the time. And lots of positive for Allie and Lauren on those, you know, whenever they seem to interact on the show, they get a lot of positive feedback. So I'm hoping that's one thing to look forward to. Then the Ian guy coming in. So I'm trying to be optimistic and give him a chance, you know, here, we'll see. But Mariana was going to ask you, because I know you're a longtime John and Marlena fan, and I'm not.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask from an objective standpoint, you know, I don't know if you saw the episodes this week and all, but what have you thought of their scenes or their stuff?
They could seem like a little playful. I liked them today. I don't know if you saw it today when they were on the couch. That was like the old John and Mark. I'm sorry, but I kind of liked that. The kind of chemistry was there.
That's why I asked you.
Yes,
I know you like,
Deidre,
you know.
Yes, Deidre was very playful. I mean, they kind of are back. I mean, when they first came on, it just wasn't.
Exactly. Yeah. Will just wouldn't keep showing up.
Yes. Now they were like, okay, you know, this is like, you know, an older couple. And it's like, they got it. Yeah. And that's the old Drake and Deidre chemistry there back. So, yeah, I enjoyed it today a lot. And there were some other times during the the week. Yeah, but I like that.
Yeah, because they were being reunited and him getting out of jail and all that, yeah.
There's another couch sex scene there almost. You know, well, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You know, it's like we never got to see Stefano and Casey or any of that or anything.
Yeah.
So
they're teasing each other about the cooking and stuff. Yeah, I like their, you know.
That was cute. John's like,
and now they're
home.
Poor. They have no money, so they got to start all over. They have no money. No.
Of course, Marlena.
They don't look like
Marlena's
they're poor right now, though. You know, they don't look like they are, but, yeah.
No.
But she's working, right? She's a psychiatrist. She's a doctor. She should be making money.
Well, she's going to be working. So do you think they're going to have a set for the university? Angela, have you heard anything on that?
Well, you would think because everybody's going to be working and going to school there. I would think
they'll have to do something. I hope that they'll do more than they did at the hospital. Somebody called me on that the other day. I said something about the hospital sets, plural. And then somebody just laughed at me and said, what do you mean? It was one bed and one desk. And I said, yeah, but there used to be bigger. There used to be more room. So I hope that they have given up. Looks like they've given up Hope and Bo's house for right now. We're not seeing that at all. And so I'm hoping that they are going to do some type of university set. But
or maybe
something.
It'll just be everybody will meet for lunch out in the court, in the square, because
the square
is obviously hooked up to everything. I love it.
Right.
But I do love the square.
Speaking
I love it.
speaking of the Horton Square, what do you all think about this? Does this make sense? That plaque that Bo broke, okay? Now, wait a minute. Wasn't the Horton Square just dedicated in September? I thought this plaque was just made for that dedication, like Bo and Hope went and got this plaque made. Mrs. Horton got this plaque made before she died and put that key in it?
This is revisionist stuff.
How did they? And then they kind of played it back and explained that, yeah, she did do this. Because I was confused there for a minute. Like, well, how did that key get in there? Mrs. Horton was already dead when this happened.
Yeah.
When they made this plaque, I thought, that Bo and Hope or whoever went and got this plaque to dedicate it to Tom and Alice.
But it doesn't make sense.
Mrs. Horton isn't going to, was she going to make it her own death? How did she even know there was going to be a Horton Square to dedicate? Or was this in the plans before that? There was no talk of it before that. Stupid. This is what I mean about.
It's just for the plot.
They're making things up to fit their plot at the time. And it's just, that's not how you write. That's not what you're supposed to.
When you have it like that, Marianne, it's like you have no confidence in anything because then anything is possible. Remember last year when Dina was still there and all of a sudden Caroline, has become a computer expert and gone in and changed.
If anything is possible, Tony DeMira is still alive and he can come back from the dead. Okay?
Right. I don't think he ever died. I think it was April Fool's thing. I think that he's been alive all this time. I never have believed that.
That's right. Lexi was in on it. He just got away. Him and Anna are off somewhere. Well, we know Anna. They know where Carrie knows where Anna is. Nobody's looking for her anymore. So obviously she's not.
Apparently she's learned how to text.
Obviously she's somewhere. They know where she's at.
I don't know, but the Anna DeMira that I know and love. I'm sorry, but the Anna DeMira I know and love would not be texting. I just can't see her texting.
Maybe it's not really Anna. I don't know.
Well, see, that's why I said last time, maybe it's like Jack being in the Outback doing his little blog or whatever. Maybe that was a sign that somehow, that Anna's sending these texts, but it's not really Anna. She's being held captive, and then Tony's finding her and will bring her back. That would be a great scenario, but I don't know.
Don't hold your breath.
But when they do come up with these things that they just kind of make up on the fly, and frankly, the Courtentown Square origin, I think they've changed the story with that since the beginning. And, it's silly, and it's just like the egg story. And, again, I don't want to go into too much yet because I'll just go off on a diatribe on it and nobody wants to hear it, but... So help me, the whole egg story and Maggie and there were so many opportunities to tell that kind of a story if they really had wanted to and have it make sense with the history. But instead, we got this ridiculous story. And then the fact that, they're still throwing this carrot. I'm hoping they're all red herrings about whether who is really the mother and father of EJ. Yeah, I'm hoping that's
Are they going away with that? So I'm thinking the secret from Mrs. Horton was really that EJ was sick, or there are more to this, not with the key.
There's more to it. There's more to it, definitely.
There's got
to
be, because right now we think, that was the secret. She saved EJ's life, and now they got done out of jail.
Who his mother could be, and if his biological mother... So help me, if they make it Hope, I really will be upset.
Oh, that really just freaks me out.
Almost the same age as Christian Alfonso, I just don't see it. I know I could not have
Hope and EJ look the same age, even though EJ's a lot younger, EJ James looks older than his age. What is he, only like 31, 32, something like that?
30. I think he was like
30 in 08.
Moved his birth date to something like 80 or 81, so he would be about 30.
Hope in her 40s, mid-40s probably.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it doesn't I understand that they think, this would be interesting because of Gina and Stefano and Hope, and I feel like they're just throwing stuff out just to kind of see if it sticks. I'm hoping.
You heard that about Hope, and then I heard that about John being the father. What are they going to make it? Hope and John?
There's no benefit in doing that.
Because of the subsex? Because they brought that.
I don't see how they, if they think they're going to go with EJ and me, I do not see them doing that. It just, I'm sorry, even if nobody is
blind. Oh, yeah, that would be weird, yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing would just be sick.
Angela, what rumors are you hearing about Ajami, a future for Ajami?
Well, I'm hearing lots of things. I guess I'm hearing that February will be that definitely James and Allie are definitely shooting scenes together, and that it's coming that they're gonna or at least that Sammy is gonna kind of hit rock bottom. She'll have Lucas there to kind of be the truth teller and say.
Uh-huh.
But you really got to expect this.
Is that wishful thinking, or do people actually? Are they
there are people out there that are saying that this is really the direction it's going.
I was just curious.
The Ajamis have been fighting for. They don't give up.
I will say this:
they're going to probably get what they want.
I will say there are some folks out there that have, given their little encapsulation of what they thought was going to happen, and as early as last summer, spring, and some of it that I read, I kept thinking, I just don't see it. I really just can't imagine that they're going to make us wait till November, wait till February. But frankly, what that person has said has been pretty much on the money. Honestly, even though I really questioned a lot of it when I was getting some of this information back in the spring, with a few adjustments here and there, she's been pretty much on the money with what was going to happen. So I do think that obviously, just like what you're saying, the secret's going to get out. Sammy's, Ayn Rafe are going to, go by the wayside. I guess I don't know if he's going to go with Carrie or not, however that works out. And then, but there will be a lot of EJ and Sammy, whether they're together officially as a couple or they're just, still dealing with what happened. Why did we still have this attraction? Why is there still such a, I don't know. But that's what they're planning to do, and I hope that they are, because I think that's the money for them. I mean, I really do. I'm not one. I know Richard Sims, when I talked to him on his show the other week, he kind of did it. He was very nice, very, very professional. But, one of the things he said is that, there are some people out there that just think that if they just have this one couple together, the world all will be right with the world. And I don't necessarily think that either, but I do think that, you'd have to be under a rock not to recognize that there really is a chemistry and there really is something interesting, or at least I know from my perspective there is, about EJ and Sammy. So I'm hopeful that February brings all of that, maybe not necessarily.
Well, I got to admit, I like Rafe with Carrie already better than I like him with Sammy. I can't stand him with Sammy. But
I can't stand him with Sammy.
If Rafe's not going anywhere,
I just can't stand Rafe, period.
Yeah, I think, Marianne, I'm kind of with you. It's hard for me at this point to really get excited about him, period.
They're not going to get rid of him. They like him for some reason.
No, they're not. No, and the thing is,
I don't get it, but
I would be surprised if they got rid of him, his character, because, as hard as it is for a lot of us to believe, I meet people at the gym that I know that watch the show, and they love Rafe. I mean, so there are people who aren't in our little world here that we're so, close to the show.
Most
and everything.
People like the good guy, though, really.
Yeah, and
majority of people like the hero, the good guy.
I liked him in the beginning,
complex.
But I just don't like him anymore. I'm just sick of it. But I don't think I don't really think
boring.
They can get rid of him, because there's a percentage of people that really do like him. But I don't know. I wouldn't mind
But they get rid of very popular characters, though, all the time.
That's true. That's
all
true.
The time.
That's true.
More popular than him,
I
would think.
It's hard for me. Sometimes I can't hear. I don't know exactly who's going to speak next, and I don't mean to talk over somebody. But from what you're saying, if they go ahead and do Rafe and Carrie, and honestly, I don't have a big, you know, stake in the game one way or the other. What they do,
right?
There.
Right. Me neither.
But you know, if he continues to be the actor that he is now.
Good
point. I know exactly where you're going. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's been in the same relationship. You can say the relationship is dull, but he and Sammy have been together too long. Whatever, you know, whatever the story is, but they now have given, you know, if they wipe the slate clean and they put him with Carrie and then it turns into a snooze fest again.
Yeah, it will.
Someone should be able to say there's a problem here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whether they do that or not.
Sorry, but if they think he's a good actor, I'm saying, I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry, there are big fans.
I know.
Yeah, like,
I mean, this one girl who's watching. Well, I know people that I work with.
Watching her whole life. That's our age. I mean, she's early 40s-ish or so. She was like, whatever they do, they just better not get a Rafe. He's my eye candy. You know? So,
well,
I mean, they're...
I can understand the eye candy. I do.
I saw him in person.
He's very
do.
Attractive.
It's just the character and the way they write him. And the way he emotes.
Although I didn't get to meet him. I just saw him in person.
I think he's definitely an attractive man. I just think... maybe the range, the material, I don't know, what the character, I don't know.
Rafe
is
Galen and Galen is Rafe. I watched Dirty Soap. It's the same person. That's my opinion.
Well, I know. And that's,
if you've ever watched Dirty Soap, he acts just like Rafe.
Well, in real life, I've been, I don't know. I think that's the way Galen is in real life. I mean, I've been around.
Yeah, Galen is not acting. That's what I mean. When he's Rafe, he acts like Galen. I don't know.
But anyway,
I just never saw a difference.
He doesn't have a big fan club here, but I guess the bottom line is they used to have something called Q ratings. I don't know if they still do that or not. But, you know, I would be really curious to know. I mean, I would feel like James Scott's would be off the chart. And I just can't imagine. And as far as, you know, if the best thing we're saying about Galen, or excuse me, about Ray, the character of Ray, not Galen, the character of Ray is, you know, that he's handsome, there are a lot of handsome men on Days of Our Lives.
Right.
You know, that's, if you do these surveys, I mean, one of the things they'll ask you every single time in that survey is, does Days have sexy men on it? It's not hard to find a handsome man. I mean, in real life, it may be hard to find a handsome man.
They all do, basically, not just Days, but they all do. They all do. And we want the sexy man. I'm not saying that. I want practice. We want them, but we want, I also want talented ones, sexy, mm-hmm. talented ones, you know.
Well, and Dave
you
has
know, it's not all about the looks. I do want good talent and good acting, too.
Well, and Dave
I mean,
has
I appreciate
a talented
that.
Cast. They really do.
They do have a talented cast.
Overall, I am a huge fan of Eric Marcoff.
Oh, I love him. Yes.
And he's been given very, you know, this whole story is just a dog right now that he's in because he's just running around like a little puppy dog. But, you know, even though it was outlandish putting, you know, Vivian in the coffin and all the foolishness that went on mm-hmm. and him being drunk all the time, but it really gave him some meat of something to portray.
Right.
And,
right.
When he did the dark side of Brady.
Oh, I love Brady.
It was a totally different character. Yes. Yeah.
They have trouble with great characters, I think.
He's a good actor. He's a good actor, and he's. You know,
I mean, really, the new writers. I don't want to bash them totally all the time because, I mean, I think a lot of it is, you know, also the decisions higher up that kind of control a lot of what we see. But the writers apparently, or somebody there apparently, never got the Stefano Kate thing. I mean, they just didn't. I mean, it was very clear that. They went from being a really dynamic couple that everyone loved to hardly being on screen together. And now I don't know if they're just trying to wean us off of them or what, because they're never in
sync. I think that's what they're doing. You know,
yeah,
out of sight, out of mind. You know, you're going to, you're going to forget about them, and then eventually, I think what they're going to do is put Kate with someone else. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
And you know, I mean, if it's hot, I'll go for it. You know, I mean, I want her to have, I want Kate to have, you know, a life and all, and have screen time and all. But you know, it's just, I mean, I love State, but it really does seem like the last couple of months they've hardly had any scenes together.
Mm-hmm.
They did,
like, they keep talking to each other. Yeah,
they did.
It was about 2-3 weeks ago, and that was so sweet. But it's like, that's all we get, you know? I mean, I love it when they're in scenes together. I just melt. I think they're darling together, and I love their they're very equally yoked, so to speak, if you can use that term with them. I just, you know, I think they're just really, it was a genius pairing, and it was just great. Mm-hmm. But they've really, whether it was by design or not, they have really not done that pairing any justice since the new regime took
over. You know, it added so much dimension to the Stefano character. You know, you really never saw the side of Stefano.
Oh, yeah.
Until Kate.
And he's sexy, too. And he's a very sexy man, too. I mean, even for being elder, you know, in his elder years, I mean, there's a very sexy charisma about him. But of course, Kate brings even more of that out in him. And so I'm glad that he's had that to play off of, and had her to play off of, and had that whole aspect. But, I think they're maybe just trying to help us forget it because other things are coming along or something. I don't know. But anyway, we'll see. But I don't know. So. So are we going to try to cross our fingers and hope for the best, Drink City?
Absolutely. I mean,
We do that all the time.
I know the last couple times we had sweeps, I didn't even realize it was sweeps month. At least usually you can kind of tell, but I couldn't even tell.
Well, I do think that they need to shake off some of the egg stories and shake off some of these things that are really not working. And, you know, however they can do that, it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous for them to be writing and taping 3 to 4 months in advance if they don't have a really strong story Bible that they really, really know is going to go. Because, I mean, because it's ridiculous. Because, again, they're going to have less than 2 months to really show those executives at Comcast something. If February is the month, which we pray it is, that's, you know, I got like 2 months before they have, why sit yourself through this every single renewal time period that they start all this stuff where they, you know, to make it, you know, yeah, well, we've got to hurry up and fix it now because we know, you know, because somebody could decide something in the next 60 days. They need to be, I don't know. I had hoped that they would have written a true Bible and they would have, you know, we would have all now kind of known what direction we were going in because some of these, you know, things out of the blue sky, things that we've gotten, the egg baby and some of these other things, those are the things that really kind of shake my confidence, you know, because you can't count on somebody. Anything can happen. You know, so I don't know. I want it to be successful. I don't mean to sound negative Nelly, because I love the show, care about
yeah,
it, want it to be here. But I do think that they better, like I said, they need to stop this 3 to 4 month in advance thing. I know it may change their whole business model, but, you know, that's what happens with businesses. You have to change things to make them work in the environment that you're in. And this is not, they're not manufacturing.
Well, unfortunately,
over there.
I agree. My only concern is they may be stuck that way for budgetary reasons and not be willing to change it. I don't know. I mean, with new producers, with all the mix-up that we have now, changes, you know, who knows? Maybe they will. I don't know. But, I mean, because the whole Taylor disaster is another example of, you know, that too long.
I think that was intentionally done. I mean, I'm a conspiracist here, but I honestly think that Dina intentionally wrote that to be awful, because I can't imagine she was either leaving and she was really trying to do something to hurt the character of EJ. And, you know, I mean, it was just so awful that it was intentional. I mean, I'm not there. Who knows?
Well, writers have been known to, like, be vindictive against characters and actors that they don't like, or characters and actors that dare, you know, stand up for their character or, you know, yeah. And that's a shame. I mean, that's the whole bit, you know, that's not very professional, but it seems like a lot of them are like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're very egotistical, I think, a lot of writers. That's just kind of like what I've been hearing or what I've heard over the years, which is a shame. You know, you're supposed to be right for the good of the show. That's what you're getting paid for.
Right,
don't take it personally. They all take it personally, like it's their character, it's their baby, you know, but whatever, you know, I don't know.
Well, you know, that was a good part of Marlene McPherson and Daryl at the
fans.
Beginning, because, again, they were really interacting versus, of course, you know, Dina never interacted
right.
with anyone.
Right.
I think they've pulled back some. I think you're right. I think that they got concerned about some people that said some ugly stuff, and they've kind of pulled back some. So it's, that's a shame. And that's a shame because I think that they were getting some feedback.
Right. Right. Hey, we've only got a couple minutes left here, guys. So any parting thoughts, Angela? Any last thoughts?
Well, I hope that we start seeing more of EJ and Sammy very soon.
I didn't see that one coming.
Sure.
Shocking. No, I'm just kidding.
I just have to say, I love seeing Doug and Julie today.
I love
the bright spot of the whole thing. And I also have to say, after I love this show, and I agree with, you know, Angela, I don't like to be negative because I really, really want it to succeed. And especially after I went to Day of Days and experienced that whole thing and met and saw a lot of the actors and characters and just experienced the whole thing. It's like then I come and I watch them on, you know, I'm sitting there watching them, you know. I met them, I talked to them, you know, the different actors, and it is like family. And it's that whole days and meeting all the other people that, like, really are invested in the show. So I really hope, you know, that it succeeds. And that there is another Day of Days in November, you know, this of next year. So.
Yeah.
Well, I agree.
My parting thought.
And there are more events coming up. Atlanta, Georgia in April.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who
there we go.
Near the south, you know, they're going to have quite a good crowd.
All right. I guess my parting shot is Kate, more Kate, and Tim at Bob Tap.
Let's go get drunk now.
All right, well, thanks. Okay. Thanks, Angela. Thanks, Joe, who joined us a little while ago. Thanks, Marianne. Thanks, everyone in the chat room. And till next time, I believe the next time we meet, we'll be back on our regular schedule Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, and Happy New Year.
All right.
Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Happy New Year to all of you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.